This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, 2018, Part 4. The call has gone out. Everyone that thirsts may come to the waters, the living waters which give life eternal, forgiveness and redemption. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 9th day of March, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 35, starting at verse 1 through chapter 40, verse 38. 1 Kings chapter 7, starting at verse 13 through chapter 8, verse 21. And the New Testament portion is Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 52. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman, and we have Faith Life 101, The Journey. Yes, that is correct. A journey, and for many, there are things they face which interact with the faith of a person. While there are tons of books, teachings, and sermons on faith, this is not one of them. Also, nations drunk on the wine of the whore. The nations are drunk on the wine of the harlot. Why do the heathens rage? That is a good question, and the psalmist asked this question in his second psalm. Apparently, he experienced the same things we are going through today. One thing about man, although today they think they are smarter than ever, yet they are ignorant on many counts. Also, war within, battle for good and evil. Ronald Reagan said, if nothing in life is worth dying for, when did that begin? War within, battle for good and evil. In the hearts of men, good and evil fight. In the country called America, we also find good and evil in a fight. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles and listen to the shows. Also, you can go to warn-usa.com and download the app, the Remnant Battle Line app, through the link on the front of warn-usa.com. You can listen to all the shows there. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. We have three Twitter accounts you can follow us on. It's hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Another Friday night already.
Yeah, another Friday night. We're there.
We're a third of the way through March. Incredible.
You know, time, you know, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, when you're a kid, time takes forever.
Oh, I know.
It takes you forever to grow up. Then once you grow up, it goes fast.
That it does. Faster than you want it to.
I mean, Tower and I just got married, and 2 years later we had a kid.
Had our first baby.
Yeah. And now they're all grown and got grandkids, so dear Lord, yeah. That's quick.
It is.
And if you haven't got in on our weekly show from Get Healthy Radio, check it out. You can go over to GetHealthyYoungLiving.com to listen to that. You can also listen to it from our Spreaker apps and also from the Spreaker show page for it. And if you go on over to our Facebook page for Get Healthy Young Living, you'll see some links there how you can listen to it. We also have a Young Living team for all those. And this, it's more than just oils. It is a lot of things. We discuss biblical oils, essential oils, foods, recipes, health tips, the latest things that are going on. It's about getting healthy. So, and we thank all those who have been listening to it, and they're going right over to the site on Get Healthy Young Living. Remember, you can also comment right from the post where you hear it from. So at any rate, you know, if you have any ideas for the shows, if you have comments, if you have
anything you want us to talk about,
ideas, you know, we, you know, speaker requests can also go through that. You know, in the old days, I used to do a lot of speakers, but you know, the bottom line, folks, I'm not an entertainment agency and neither is Tower. We're here for a purpose. And while we want to have fun online, and we do want to get into the Word of God, and we don't want to get waylaid by a lot of other things. Howbeit, you know, our Get Healthy broadcast, we are looking at speakers for that. But in order to get on that, you, we're looking at a 15-minute interview only. 15 minutes, probably the max. Quick, short interview on health or whatever. And so at any rate, contact us on our websites and we'll be in touch with you. Tonight we're doing Passover Part 4. And, man, I'll tell you, this week went by.
Zoomed.
Yeah, it did. We had a lot of things going on. And, you know, it just, there's a lot of avenues that we keep going that you don't realize how much stuff there is. There's just a lot of things going every which way. And it amazes me sometimes how everything just keeps moving on. I mean, from the social sites to the book to Young Living and our Get Healthy Young Living, which is, like I said, we did talk about biblical oils this last week, and this week we're going to do another one, and we do get into stuff that I believe is really helpful. It's interesting. It's stuff that affects us personally, it's part of a journey. So join us on the journey. And also with these broadcasts, regular broadcasts, be sure to pass them on to your friends. And if you have listened to read the book in any way, shape, or form, Steal the Darkness, be sure to leave a comment over on our Amazon Steal the Darkness page, because we need 5 comments for some reason. Actually, you need to have about 50 comments, somebody said, in order for it to move in the thing. But You know, folks, I know it's hard to leave comments, but for those of you that get the book and have the book, leave the comments. I mean, a lot of people don't leave comments. And that goes way back to a lot of things. Now, there are sites where people just leave comments all the time. If I had to, and, you know, we get stuff and do things with Amazon, and, man, I don't have time to leave all of the comments that they want me to. I'd be doing comments, it seems, all the time. And of course, there's not just them. I mean, everybody wants that. And, you know, dear God in heaven, give me strength. I mean, I don't leave. When I go downtown and I go shopping, I don't leave a comment there, you know, where I picked the product up from. I don't attach a little note saying, I think this product stinks or I love it, you know. The only place that you're required to is when you shop online. But at any rate, if you haven't got Steal the Darkness, get it. And it is in both the ebook and, we do have a lot of versions of it. We have two on Ingram and two on Amazon, and I did that on purpose. Because on Ingram, it is a different ebook format than the Kindle. And matter of fact, we do have people that have purchased that book from that ebook format. So at any rate, be sure to get the book, check it out, and
it's a fun little read, fast read.
And the reason is because we're going to start the second book here in the future. And we're going to try to get some input for those who have read the first book and get some ideas from there. We have our own ideas. I know personally how the scope of the book's going to go and where the series is going. I know that. But we want to interact with some of those. And we've already got some interaction from some of our people that we know, and so we'll be getting back in touch with them when we're ready to move on the second book. But we're not ready. I'm still working on promoting it and doing a bunch of stuff. It just takes forever to do everything.
Yeah, never enough time. But we do have people helping us, so that's great. Praise the Lord and bless them.
Yeah. And so at any rate, yeah, let's see. What else is going on today? I don't know. I did go through some of my news and everything like that, but, you know, I'm trying to think if there's anything. You know, the big thing in the news is Trump meeting with Rocket Man. You know, the only thing I have to say about that is if that can help make the atmosphere in North Korea easier for Christians there, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, Kim Jong-un is a murderer. Make no mistake. And in his eyes, he's not a murderer. He sees, you know, they worship, it's like emperor worship that goes back into the Roman Empire time. They had that too. So at any rate, you know, he's killed his own family. He's killed a lot of those that were close to him. He killed his own brother. I think it's his half brother.
Yeah.
You know, and his dad did the same thing. So, you know, we're not dealing with someone that has a full deck. You know, I don't know. It's just one of those things. One of the liberal, I think it was CNN, came out and said, well, if he pulls this off, he will be truly a great president. Well, you know, it's kind of funny that when you talk about Donald Trump, you know, there's so many people that hate him. And now all of a sudden, you have one of them suddenly say, well, you know, this is a chance for him to become a great president. You begin to wonder what their drinks are spiked with, because they're, you know, they have been absolutely devilish in their condemnation and hatred of Trump. Yeah. It's not even normal. You know, it's not like when you're opposed to someone political. These people are personally, absolutely, fully, heartfeltly, they detest Trump and hate everything about him and everybody that works with him and everybody that's associated with him, and they hate everybody that likes him. That pretty much sums him up.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi came out today and said, the Dems are all for the tax cuts. You know, they were throwing fits and everything, but now they're all for the tax cuts because anytime people get a bonus, we're all for that.
She's such a hypocrite.
I know.
She was leading the charge with the rest of them, you know, against that. And whatever he tries to do, you know, and now, you know, he did these tariffs. And, of course, everybody, including Rand Paul, was against it, and his own economic advisor was against it.
Well, his own economic advisor quit because of that was just like the last straw, apparently.
Well, no, it's not the last straw. Trump came out and said that, he may come back, and the other guy spoke highly of Trump. I mean, that's one thing I see. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't care. I don't know, Cohen. But I can tell you that Trump's reasoning, he just stated, he says, a nation without steel production is not a nation.
That's right, exactly.
And he's got a point. And so what part of tariffs don't you understand? We need to get the steel industry going, and if that causes these other idiot nations to retaliate, so be it. I mean, why should we support their economies and build them up when we need to build our own infrastructure and we need to have our own steel?
That's
what he's doing here. Now, if you're too short-sighted to see it, well, you know, that's your problem. But he did parade out a bunch of steel workers who were pretty happy that he did do that because they got on the higher list. And I read the article. I mean, I had just gotten done looking at Trump doing, what he was going to do. And then it was not long after that the steel industry, I was thinking it was U.S. Steel, said they were going to be hiring 500 more back, 500 people back.
Well, I'm excited about that. That could lead 500 more after that.
Well, you know, look at Detroit. Detroit got murdered because, basically the car and automobile industry went belly up. Foreign countries bought our companies, literally.
And the Muslims took over
all
Michigan.
A news story came out and they said, don't look now, but all your cars are going to rust now. And that's because, see, they don't rust now because they're not made of steel. There's no steel to put in them. You have the body and that's it, and the rest of it is just fiberglass. All these fancy-looking cars you got, they're just absolute fiberglass.
Yeah.
Now, see, I have got a truck, and it is 40, I think it's 41 years old, and it still runs. I've done a lot of work on it over the years, many years ago when I was using it a lot, and I keep it going now. But it's real metal. You run into me, or I run into you with this truck, and you're going to be on the bad side of it because this truck, it takes a lot to dent. It is big, and it is heavy metal. It was built back in the 70s, at any rate, that's about where we're going. And so, at any rate, what else we got to talk about?
Not too much.
Well, I was thinking if we have to make announcements, we should be doing it now.
We already did. Well, we've made them all.
Okay. Well, we didn't make them all because I talked about the show. And the thing of it is most of the people are listening to the shows from our website, which is what we want.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want. So at any rate, I think we're going to do this.
Okay, sounds good. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Okay, Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Part 4. And good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise. You know, and in this, when we're talking about Part 4, you know, it's interesting to note that if you were a Jew, a traditional Jew, and you went to the temple, and you didn't agree with Christianity at all, or our take on Passover, the rest of this wouldn't interest you at all. Now, the first part probably wouldn't even interest you, because I did not go into a lot of the stuff that you may think you need to go into. At the Seder, you do actually go through, you know, the whole thing. And they do have Christian Seders using the same thing that the Jews would do, except we just put in the Savior. And there's a lot of things that we need to remember about this. That, you know, in fact, before Christ did go to the cross, he had his Last Supper, as we call it in the Gentile world, or otherwise known as a Seder. And it was at this Seder that he also introduced, you know, the bread and the wine, communion, as an ordinance. And so when we do Passover, we finish our Passover meal, Seder, our order of service, and at the end of it we have, towards the end of it, we have communion. And so it's important to understand that what we're talking about when we talk about the Passover and unleavened bread is the fulfillment of Scripture. But see, the prophets really did reveal a lot. Isaiah, in Isaiah 55, this is probably one of the finest introductions to what God is doing that there is. And there's seven little verses we're going to start out in this section with, because this points us what we're looking at. We talk about the Lord being the Passover Lamb, and he is. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." We have gone through the steps of him going to the cross and how it outlined and followed the Passover. And there is no doubt at all in the evidence and from Scripture that he fulfilled that. And so every year, about this time, when we go through Passover and unleavened bread, we see the fulfillment and how the Passover lamb was utilized, partaken of, the blood applied, causing the death angel to pass over, which is all typed out as our form of redemption. Now, if we go to verse 1 of Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now, you know, there's one thing about water. You can pretty much go 3 days without water. At the end of 3 days, you'll start getting headaches. And you'll start going into dehydration. Your body will react, and you will literally perish without water. And he offers us living waters. It's interesting that when we think about how important water is, how much more important is the water that flows from within us because of what Yahshua did on the cross. You know, if you were a sailor on the ocean in a ship and all of a sudden it wrecked, and you wrecked in the South Seas, and you found yourself stranded on an island, and you could walk across that whole patch of island in probably 20 minutes. There's a coconut tree there. There's certain crabs that crawl up on the shore all the time. Various bugs and sundries, but other than that, there's nothing. You begin eating the coconuts and you find out that the juice, the coconut milk as we call it, can indeed quench your thirst. The problem with coconut, the liquid from it, it will give you the runs, and it's not good to be used alone as the sole source of your water. Because in the end, with nothing to eat and no other water, it will give you a case of the runs, which will dehydrate you, and in the end, you will die. Now, folks, that's how important water is. No matter what we have around us, if you have not water, you will not have a crop, you will not live, you will not have a way to make it through, period. One of the biggest challenges of survivalists when they go out, and that is to stay warm, have a fire, have water, and try to find food. And try not to have some animal kill you in the process of all you're doing that. That's survival. Now, we living in the modern age, we've managed to survive quite well. We have running water, we have sewer, we have grocery stores that have food in them. We live in relative peace, except for many in the big cities who see the murder rates going up. But you see, Yahshua didn't die to make the earth perfect. He died to redeem you. Because the earth, as well as the animals, as well as you and everything in it, is suffering from the curse. So in verse 1, we say, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And if you had any inkling at all of eternal life or hope, you need to understand that thirst is important. There's a lot of people today that aren't thirsty for the truth, not the truth of God, and certainly not the truth of our God and Father and of His Son, Jesus, Yahshua. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, the world will reject the love of the truth, which is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. He was the Passover lamb. He was the lamb that took away the sins of the world, and the God, and pretty much that does form the foundation of the gospel right there. But society is rejecting that even now. So it's kind of hard to call people, "Hey, are you thirsty? Come to the waters. We're not going to charge you. It's a real good deal. You can get free water. This water will give you eternal life. It will quench you. It will provide a way for you to come to the Lord. Come you buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." All these, wine, milk. See, that illustrates plenty. That's what that, wine and milk. The ability to quench your thirst, the ability to fill you up, the ability to give you things within you to make you feel better. And of course, it talks about money because we all need money, right? In verse 2, he says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Now see, we know what fat is. I certainly do. Many people do. Now, if you were in North Korea, a Christian, you would be in a camp, and you'd be eating grass, if you could find it, any kind of bugs and rats, if they were left, and you would get one skimpy little bowl of soup a day, but you'd be working about 12 to 15 hours a day, sleeping little, not getting much, and the women would be raped by the guards on a regular basis. And if they got pregnant, they'd be killed. These come from reports of people who have escaped these camps. Now, if you were to go in that camp, there are a lot of them that said, "Sure, I'll take milk, I'll take wine, I'll take whatever you can give me. I'm starving to death, I'm hungry, I'm thin, my bones are showing, my bowels don't work. I got headaches all the time. I work all the time. I can barely move. Every bone in my body aches. I feel like God has forsaken me, but yet I realize that He's still there. Yeah, I will take it." So I speak to the soft-nosed citizens of Western society in Europe, in the UK, Canada, America. Oh, and there's a lot of others. They're comfortable. So when you get on a program and you begin to cry out and say, "Come to the Lord, it's free," they don't care about free anymore. They're rich and in need of nothing. They don't need it. So when we talk about the Passover and the unleavened bread, in order to even understand this or even want to do it, you have to be hungry. You have to see the types. You have to say, "I can see this. I want this." Because your Savior was Jewish, of the line of David. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's exactly what David was. He was the warrior king. He was the ravenous warrior. He defeated all of the enemies of Israel. And now I'm here to tell you that a greater one in David has come. And he is the warrior king after the line of David. He will sit on David's throne. But he's going to sit on a greater throne than that. And that is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Almighty. He will judge all men. And he'll bring all things to a close, put all things under his feet, and he will hand the kingdom back to the Father, and he himself will automatically submit to his Father so that everything will be all in all. You'll find that in Corinthians. So the question: why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? And as we were talking earlier, there were those who were glad to have the steel industry back because they've been unemployed more than likely. And if they did get a job, they wouldn't have the wages of a steel worker like they were before, because it was a specialized ability. And since we don't need it anymore and we sent it overseas to China and some of the cheaper companies where they put their citizens to work at bare minimum wages, and you unemployed the American workers and yet you felt real proud about it, but the American workers themselves found out how hard it is. So when they got some of the hope back, they were glad that this was done. Because their steel job could come back and they would have money. But you see, the problem in America today, it's not like our forefathers back in the 30s or even back in the Old West, who knew what it was like to work all summer just for a harvest in the fall, hoping you would have enough food to get you through the winter. Because if you screwed up, if you were raided, if the Indians came and took everything you had, you would probably starve, you and your family, in the winter. There was nobody around, there was no social services, nobody cared. You either made it or you didn't. And in America today, we are rich, many times in need of nothing, and we have everything, and we think we need nothing. But I'm here to tell you that you do not know what satisfaction is. You do not know what really is good. And you need to rest and find the Lord, look to Him, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now see, when we talk about fatness, in America, being fat is not fun. You see, if you're fat, you don't like it. The only way Americans like fat is if there's a beef that's fat, a steak that has fat around the side of it. If you have a great 24-ounce T-bone, and it has an inch of fat that's been fired on the grill, and it's crispy, it's about medium rare, and that fat is singed to perfection, and you can eat, and that will sink into your mouth, and your teeth, and your gums, and your lips will surround itself in that fat that's been broiled, and that will taste like you're tasting heaven. But that ain't nothing like your soul delighting itself in fatness. Your soul at its utmost happiness, perfection, delight, hope, and joy. Finding a place where it can relax and wallow in abundance. That's what Christ represents. When we look at the word fatness, it's abundance, folks. When we look at that which says wine and milk, we see abundance. We see provision. We see a system that is not based upon greed, man-made, usury, or anything else, but we see a God, a loving God, who didn't have to, but has arranged, worked at, and got our redemption. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, is the call. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And Christ, Yahshua, represents the sure mercies of David. David was favored. He was a man after God's own heart. He was not perfect. But this is why you have hope today, and why there are people today that their only hope is in the world, because they refuse to hear. But see, you have to incline your ear. The Lord, when he was here, he says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Revelation is full of that. And it says, "Come unto me." John chapter 1 says, "The Lord, he went to his own. His own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of man, but of the Spirit of God." The power of God. Verse 4, "Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." That is who your Lord is. He is the one in charge. "Every name that is named," there's not a name given among men, but that which has already been given, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. "He triumphed openly over every principality and power." But make no mistake, he is that Passover lamb. He is that sacrifice. He is the unleavened bread. He is the one is the first fruits. He is the one that sent the Spirit of God on Pentecost. He is the fulfillment of the law. Pentecost celebrates Sinai and the giving of the law. And at Pentecost, the very time that you celebrate the giving of the law, the Lord sent the Spirit of God to signify and seal that he was doing a new thing. There was going to be a new move of God which would fulfill the law of God, and in all its ways it would redeem men finally and fully, because the law could not redeem men. Now they can be redeemed. Now they can find that fatness. They can find a soul that they've had that is kind of decrepit. It's in sin. It's burdened down. It has an illness. And then suddenly there's hope. There's redemption. There's forgiveness. And your soul suddenly begins to fatten up. And you feel the rivers of water living and moving inside of you. And the power of God surging through your body, mind, soul, and spirit. See, this experience isn't a dead experience, it's alive. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. And believe you me, Paul even speaks about the Gentile nations. They were without hope, without the promise, without God, until Yahshua came. He went to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So nations of people, the nations of them that are saved, Jew, Gentile, male, female, whatever your race, creed, or color, can come. So the admonition in verse 6 is, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, and he's near right now. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the abundantly pardon. That is the sure mercies of David. That is why the Lord came, not only to his own people, but why he intended to redeem the Gentiles as well. Because if you think God just loved the Jews, he didn't. He loved all his creation. But there's one thing. In Matthew 4:4, the Lord says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And even today, that's so. In Matthew 16:5-11, and of course, we're talking about unleavened bread now. Passover having been over. The Feast of First Fruits, the Lord fulfilled that. He was the first fruits. And it's into the days of unleavened bread. And it'll also go into the Feast of Weeks, which are 49 days plus one, 7 weeks plus one. That's where we get Pentecost. The spring feast signifying life and health, renewal, growth, the planting of a seed and the growing of something that's going to produce fruit. The Lord went into the bowels of the earth. He died, was put in the tomb for 3 days. He possessed, I should say repossessed, the keys of death and hell. Then he was resurrected from the dead by the power of Almighty God. This is what Passover signifies, the Passover lamb. Now see, on the day the Passover lamb was first slaughtered by Moses and his people, that lamb did not resurrect from the dead. This lamb has. This is the Lamb of God. He gave himself as a propitiation for our sins becoming sin, so that the death angel and the sentence that hung over us would be forever removed. And he took the penalty for that sin. And the penalty is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he became sin, so he died. 3 days later, he arose from the dead by the power of God, because he was a righteous soul and perfect in all of his ways. He is Lord of lords, he's the first fruits and King of kings. But when he was teaching Matthew 16, he's going to warn of the leaven of the Pharisees. See, we have leaven, even today, leaven representing sin. There is a sin within the teaching in the church. There's a sin within the teaching of men. Matthew 16:5, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take the bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which Jesus perceived, said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Now you see, it's interesting to note how we think. And we know very well from the Jews themselves, they got out of Egypt. In spite of all the miracles that were done, and God continued to do miracles for the children of Israel, there was a time and time again they wanted to go back into Egypt. See, there's something about man that has a propitiation, I mean, has a an idea, a preconceived idea. And when they look around, you know, guess what? We didn't bring nothing to eat. You know, my dad used to tell me, he says, my stomach tells me when it's time to eat. And that's true for a lot of people. When the stomach tells you to eat, you eat. Now you see, these disciples, not too long ago, had a miracle where they took up a lot of bread. They started with very little, and they fed 5,000. Now, somehow you forget the miracle, and somehow you only remember what your stomach has to say, because that's the flesh. The flesh is weak and the spirit is strong. And so when we're dealing in things of the kingdom, we got to remember the things of the spirit. And while we're taking care of the flesh to keep it alive, the flesh does not lead us. America's really good at allowing the flesh to lead. What you see, what you feel, what you taste, what you touch, what you hear, the 5 senses. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what Satan can tempt you with, because that's what you are surrounded with. The lust of the eyes, everything you see and you want. Lust of the flesh, that is overall. That can get into really a dirty nature, a corrupt nature. We're corrupt in this nation, and we see these things that now that are totally corrupt have now been accepted, and this is part of our lifestyle today. And we did on our show just the other day, we talked about the problem with sex trafficking of children. That's corrupt in its worst form. And you would think no human being on earth would want to do that. But they do. It's like it's an epidemic. These are the things the Lord will put down permanently. But you got to be careful of the leaven that you're following. So he reminds them, don't you understand? Can't you remember? In other words, stop thinking about your stomachs and your flesh. Don't you understand? If you need to eat, I can create that. I am the resurrection of the and the life. I am he. I will provide. But see, they reasoned among themselves. See, this is the problem. Whenever you get into human reasoning, it falls short every time. But see, in America, human reasoning is what really motivates us because our knowledge now has so increased, we begin to think of ourselves as gods. Who else thought of himself as a god besides Satan? Well, many of his angels did. And over the course of history, many a human has thought he was God. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachings? What are they teaching you? Now, we're not going to go into everything they were teaching, but it's here you need to understand. That there's a lot of teachings out there. A lot of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees and others that lead you away from the truth. We've got entire countries following other gods and other religions, and their leaven, their teaching is damnable. It's going to lead to bloodshed, murder, rape, pillage. And that is ahead. You know, Scripture says that unless the Lord would shorten the days, no flesh would be left alive. That's why he's coming again. Sin is rising to the top as rotted cream. And it gathers there, stinking, waiting until it grows the mold and gets worse. There is a harvest to life and a harvest to uncleanness. The sour grapes and the sweet grapes, the wheat and the tares, the good and the evil, the wicked and the holy. And this isn't Democrats and Republicans. This isn't America and Iran. This is human beings. Because you're going to find even in Iran, there are people who are righteous and holy in the Lord, who are Christians and are in good stead with the Lord. There's people in North Korea that know the Lord that are suffering terrible. And they're in good standing with the Lord. And there are people in America all dressed up nice and pretty in their multi-million dollar homes that have everything. And they are rotten, they're wretched, and they're naked before God. And there are churches in America that are acceptable in God's eyes. And there are churches in America that are in an absolute horrendous mess. And heading to perdition. The leaven. So when we talk about Passover and unleavened bread, we focus. Unleavened bread. That which is unclean is leaven. That which is clean is unleavened bread. And it's during this time we remember the cleanliness. We remember the truth. We remember the Lord. We understand. Instead of saying, well, we've forgotten the bread, we say, we have the bread of life. Instead of saying, I have no hope, I have the Lord of hope. If you think the Passover lamb is just about stealing the Jews' Passover, understand it's not the Jews' Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. The feasts are not Jewish feasts. They are the Lord's feasts. The Sabbath is known as the Lord's Sabbath. Yes, the Jews were the first one. They were given it. And they celebrated over the years, but it is not theirs. They have no right to change it and make it just whatever they want to. It is the Lord's. And that was part of the problem of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. For by the traditions of men, they had made the word of God of none effect. And if God judged his own people, both houses of Israel, for their sins, what do you think he will do to the nations of Gentiles who do not know God, who do not care, and who are going to have one great final leader known as the beast who will lead them against God Almighty and his son, and they are going to gather around Jerusalem because they know God pays attention to Jerusalem, and they intend to pillage Jerusalem, to destroy it, to make it theirs, and set themselves up as God, and they intend to throw Christ off the throne, destroy the Father, and ascend above the Most High. That is exactly what the beast intends to do, but he will never get it done. And if you don't think this is about good and evil, then you haven't seen anything. But let me reflect. In Galatians 5, 7 through 9, Paul is talking to the Galatians. And this is a good book when we talk about good and evil. Good deeds and bad deeds. You know, I'm talking about, the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. Once you get a little sin within a group of people, just like one rotted apple, or you can even take that to potatoes. You can take it to onions. See, in today's stores, it's easy to apply this because you can have a sack of potatoes, a sack of onions, a sack of apples, a sack of this, and a sack of that. Well, when one goes bad, that rotted carcass of that apple or that rotted carcass of whatever will rot the rest of the fruit right next to it. And if you have something rotten in the church, it's going to rot and continue to rot and infect until it's all infected. And you know why you need a preacher that's preaching, and one that fasts and prays, and deacons that fast and pray, and they pray the power of God down, is because the disinfectant is the power of God. The purity is the reflection of people on their own souls and repenting of those sins. When they come to light, this is what we're looking at. But just a little leaven. And you take the nations today, and we've got more than a little leaven, more than a little sin. And it's going to rise up. That rotted carcass is going to move. And many are going to die. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now see, in case you're wondering, Paul said the first one in Galatians 5. Now he says it again in 1 Corinthians 5. Now both Corinth and Galatians had a problem, and it was called sin. Now Corinth had a move of the Holy Spirit, and they had a lot of gifts of the Spirit, but they had a lot of sin as well. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, and that's based upon Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Christ is our Passover. He is the unleavened bread, and we are admonished here in Corinthians to keep the feast, but not with the old leaven of sin and jealousies or malice and wickedness, but unleavened bread, unstained, sincere and truth, walking in Christ, being as Christ, walking in the light as he is in the light. That's the feast. Now let's look at some of this stuff with the Pharisees, which is leaven. And then we'll move on. Matthew 16:12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In Mark 8:15, he says it this way. He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Luke 12:1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable number of multitude of people, inasmuch as they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Luke 13:21, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, I'm a baker, among other things. And when I put a little bit of yeast in bread, in flour, and mix it right, give it the right temperature, that's going to leaven the whole lump, and it's going to grow. And when you take leaven in the spiritual sense, as we're talking now, just like one apple that's rotted will rot the whole bunch. A little bit of sin left untouched, unchallenged, unconfessed is going to grow, till everything is consumed. Now, one of the best discourses I like, and I'm trying to think if I can get through all this, but we'll give her a shot. John chapter 6. This is really, and you can really get a picture here. Let's take a look at it. John 6, and starting at verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus, because they had gone ahead, you know. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? They wonder, well, why did you come here without us? That's really what the meaning was. Then Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Oh, yeah, I love them miracles, but boy, when you fed me, man, I'll tell you, I'm going to vote for you, you know? Back in the 30s, because of the depression, politicians, one of the things they would say, well, vote for me and I'll put a chicken in every pot in every house. I'll put a chicken. Well, that's more than they did have most of the time, especially during the dust storm. They had nothing but dust. So whenever you fill a belly, yeah, they'll vote for you. Make them feel good. You know, the old adage was, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, that's also the way to a woman, too. Don't kid you. You give a woman a good meal and she'll remember you. Matter of fact, you may wind up cooking all the time if you're a guy and you got that. You know, you might just get drafted. Labor not for the meat which perishes, But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now that is who he is. He was sealed. He was given to us. He is the Passover lamb. It was God that decided he would be the Passover lamb. It was God that decided he would become the lamb. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto him, This is the work of God, that you would believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, I love that verse. See, we always look about the different works. What work can I do to be saved? Believe. Now, see, there's another little word that goes right along with that. And I wrote it in the article on Faith 101. And that article talks about faith and the law of faith. See, because believe on him is the same thing as having faith on him. Now, believe in the English is kind of a weak word, but if you take it in the Greek and you put it and put the emphasis on it, it's trust in, rely on, and cling to. You don't just trust, you cling to it, you hang on to it. There's action involved, there's emotion involved. They said, therefore, and in what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou? What dost thou work? Oh, it gets me in these conversations, you know, all along. Well, let's put it this way. At the end of John, he writes, you know, this is the end of the writings of all that Jesus began to do and teach. But this is not all that he did. For I suppose, he says, and I'm remembering this, that all of the books, all the world could not contain all of the books of everything that he had done. See, we only have a portion of what he did. John tells us that at the end. He did many, 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 many miracles. So the Jews, the first thing they say is, what do you do? What's your work? Where's your miracles? Unbelievable. That just like an atheist and an agnostic, they can look up and see the heavens and everything else and decide, well, there isn't no God. You know, in the end, some little thing clicked and all of a sudden it happened. Now, see, that's impossible. There has to be a first cause. And, of course, they make a first cause up, which is crazy. But, see, they've got everybody believing in all this other stuff. We're all descended from a bunch of monkeys. Well, they are, not me. I know how we came. But you see, there's a lot of things that people have problems believing. Now see, people today are still saying, you know, just what does he do? Who is he? Why doesn't he show himself? Where is he at? You know, they always got all these questions. And the first thing you need to do is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It actually says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you can't believe that he exists, then you can't come to him. Period. That's just the way it is. You know, if there was two towns, left and right, and you lived in left and you wanted to go to right, and we do have a right here in Wyoming, but at any rate. So you have citizen A in city left, and he says, I'm going to go over to right. And the other guy says, well, there is no right. There's only left. Well, I know there's a right. Well, how do you know? Because I read it in our book, our scriptures. It says there's a right over there. I'm going to go over there. The other guy says, well, you're never going to find it. So he goes out and leaves, comes back a short while later. And he's dressed as a king. He's got a whole entourage. He has riches. He has all kinds of things. And the guy says, what happened to you? He says, I went over to right and found it. I'm a king now. Well, at any rate, a lot of people are missing the right way. Because they're over and left. Now, I don't intend to make this a comedy sketch. And I remember that old one of who's on first and who's and what's on second and where's on third. You know, you remember that one? It's not that funny, what I'm talking about. But it's decidedly, poignantly true that people today have decided, just like these decided, the miracles were right in front of them all the time. They didn't see them. And so they say, what have you done? What are you going to work? They're right in front of them and they don't see it. See, God works all the time and many don't see it. Now see, I can sit here and I can tell you I know God's work because I can see it. No, you can't. Nobody has seen God. How do you know? Do you think God, the only way to see him is as you would see, your neighbor? Do you not understand there's more to this than that? It's more to it than just what you see, what you hear, what you smell. Because your body and your flesh is weak, but it's your spirit that's strong. It's your spirit now that is anemic in you. Your spirit needs that everlasting water. Your spirit is the one that would know who the true God is, but you do not. Because you've allowed your flesh to rule everything. Of course, they put up tradition then. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now see, that's what a lot of people like to do, go back into their tradition. Well, you know, we're righteous today because of what our fathers did, and that's what the Jews used a lot. And, you know, I've talked about the same thing, you know. My grandmother was a righteous Christian woman. She died young. She took my uncle, aunt, and my dad to the Amy Simple McPherson meetings, and my dad is the only one that went up and gave his heart to the Lord. He could never understand why he was the only one. And I say, you know, we've had a line of blessing come down through both my mother's line and my dad's line because both of those lines were Christian. But see, I'm not righteous because of what my dad did. Now, the way he raised me in some things, yeah, that helped. The only way I got righteous, the only way I was able to know anything at all, if indeed I know anything, is because I came to the Lord, I repented. Everybody comes the same way. It's not pretty. You go there, you repent of your sins, Romans 3 through 7. You come to him, you receive him, just like everybody else has to do. John chapter 1, and then he gives you the power to become the sons of God, John chapter 1, and you become born again, not by the will of man, but by the power of God, and that power of God is being born again through the Spirit of God, John chapter 3. This is the way it works. And if we are anything as Christian as today, we are only that because of what God has done through Christ. It's not because of our traditions, it's not because of who we knew. And we always say, well, I found the Lord. No, you didn't find the Lord. He was not lost. He always knew you were lost. And he finally got through your thick head and your hard heart. God forbid when I look back and see how stupid I was a couple of times. Probably more than a couple of times, folks. And even after I've become a Christian, he still had to teach me. You think God's done with you the minute you confess him? You think it's all over? No, good grief. Dear God in heaven, if it ain't the devil, you know, most of the time people blame the devil, but I'll tell you, we're our own worst enemies, even as Christians. I mean, we'll pray about something, then we'll stop and go do what we think we should be doing instead of just fasting and praying and waiting on the Lord. Now, verse 32, then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Again, it's not about the arm of the flesh here, okay? Although Moses was there and the miracles worked through him, he wasn't the source of the bread. The Father was. But see, now he says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He is the true bread. So when we're talking leavened bread and unleavened bread, he is the true unleavened bread from heaven. When we talk of the Passover lamb, both in the time of Moses and the Passover lamb, who is the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God is greater. Greater lamb, greater sacrifice, permanent results. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. That's the bread of God. So when we talk about leavened bread, when we talk about unleavened bread, when we talk about the Passover and the Passover lamb, we're talking about he who came down from heaven, he who gave life to the world. Well, then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Now remember this portion, we're talking about the unleavened bread. We're talking about that bread. Unleavened bread is the bread without leaven, which leaven being sin, he is the sinless unleavened bread, which is the bread of life. And so he says, you've also seen me and believe not. And we talked about that earlier. They couldn't find the word. What works do you do? He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So if you really do want to come to him, he's not going to cast you out. He's also not going to leave you or forsake you. Those are promises. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now that is today. Everybody, today and from here on out until the last day. The Father said, everybody that will see you and believe on you can have everlasting life. And he's telling them in plain English the gospel. Then the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down in heaven. Of course, there's always, you know, the problems are in the details, especially when you try to do a contract. And the Jews couldn't get away from the fact that this one standing before him actually came down from heaven. They couldn't grab that. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he saith, I came down from heaven? Where do you think babies come from? Do you think they really just come out of the mother's womb? They do. But the spirit inside of them, did she suddenly conjure a spirit up? No. That spirit in that baby, in that womb, came from God, from heaven. And every one of them souls that you people out there have aborted, guess what? They're in heaven right now. There is going to be a multitude of witnesses against this generation, and multiple generations since the passage of Roe versus Wade, let me tell you. And there are acres and acres of innocent blood on this nation for what it has done. And there is damnable judgments on those in political power and those in the media who have pushed this damnable doctrine of the abortion. Woe unto you. You will find your reward. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread of life which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now that ties unleavened bread into the Passover, because the Passover is about the Lamb of the Passover Lamb. The Passover Lamb is the Lamb of God, which John said in John 1, this is the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. This verse that he says right here ties it all up. Of course, that isn't going to make him happy with the Jews. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now this is the part that is really good. It's all good. But he says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father have sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is not that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall eat forever, shall live forever. Now he was in the synagogue in Capernaum, and many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And so they begin to leave. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing, and the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That is the key to understand what he's talking about. His flesh is that which he gives on the cross. That blood is what was shed in the blood of the covenant. Because the blood had to be shed according to the law. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And there had to be a carcass. Because at Passover, they ate of the carcass of the Passover lamb. So too, we eat of the carcass of the Passover lamb spiritually. And so we take the wine and we take the bread. The bread represents his flesh. The wine represents his blood. This represents what he did on the cross. This represents the fulfillment. We do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, while many love to celebrate his birth, there's no commandments to celebrate his birth, but he says, this do ye as oft as you will to remember the Lord's death. So he says to his own disciples, will you also go away? Because many stopped following him. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Peter may not have understood everything, but he knew the one speaking was the Son of the living God. And I believe it. Father, we thank you for your teaching on unleavened bread, on Passover. We thank you for what you've done, Father. Let this be revealed in the hearts of those who hear it. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. I can't hear you.
I know. I was taking care of some stuff.
You can't take care of stuff when I turn it over to you.
Hey, I'm back now. That was a great teaching. I've enjoyed this Passover, and it's great to see how the Lord ties into all that, how he is our Passover lamb from the Old Testament clear on through.
It is.
Like you've said, and I don't know where it came from, the scarlet thread of redemption.
Well, we learned that in Bible school many years ago. And we also developed that. That's something that most of us, I say us, those that believe, we follow the scarlet thread of redemption, which is how God moves from Genesis. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent all the way to the cross.
Yeah, I'm just thankful to the Lord. Thankful for that redemption.
Well, at any rate, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Already? Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. Thank you for what you do for the kingdom of God. May God richly bless you and multiply you and your bounty. And good night, everybody. Enjoy your Shabbat.
Good night, everyone. Shalom. We'll see you next time. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.